Hello, volleyball fans. Welcome to the 5-1 Volleyball Podcast, performed by me, Dan. This is the podcast that goes the most in-depth, with the most detail, the most knowledge about the world of pro volleyball. So if you like the podcast, remember to subscribe to get notified for all future episodes. So we didn't do a podcast on Wednesday because I was supposed to do one with someone, but he wasn't able to make it. So I delayed the Mailbag podcast till Friday, and today I'm going to do this podcast that I've wanted to do for a while, and that's going over kind of the big prospects in the volleyball world. Guys who could be the next generation of stars, and in a lot of cases are actually part of the current generation of stars. So this is one of the questions on one of the mailbags, and yeah, something I wanted to go over for a while. And for the prospects, I mean, you can use a few definitions for it. It could be guys who are still on the junior national teams, guys who are still in development systems. But in this case, I just said anyone who was born in 1997 or later, meaning 22, in most cases 21 and under. So I'm going to break it down by the different countries each of these players is from. And this is by all means not a comprehensive list. If there is a really up-and-coming prospect from your country that you think deserves to be on this list, please let me know. I'm always on the lookout for new and great volleyball players. But these are just the players that have stood out to me through watching and talking to a lot of other fans and players and coaches. So, in no particular order, why don't we start with the Americans? Now, if I did this podcast 5 or 6 years ago, the Americans probably would have had a lot more players. But for now, I'm only going to say they have four kind of prospects that I view potentially to be elite players on the next level. The first one, and definitely the best one out of this group, is TJ DeFalco of Long Beach State University. We saw him get time in the last two World/Nations Leagues, actually, so he's been playing in that already for a while. He would have been on the World Championships roster this year, but he had school obligations during that time. Given the Americans' result in that tournament, I feel like he might be regretting that decision now. Yeah, fantastic player. He's a unique guy on this list because he's pretty undersized, not super athletic, but he makes up for it with a really smart game, really knows how to tool the block, where to put the ball, great defensive player, even though he has struggled with passing over the last 18 months or so, and just has a fantastic serve. He'll have his choice of clubs where to go when he graduates from LBSU this year, and he's going to be a big part of the American national team program in the years to come, even though he still is not as good as Taylor Sander, Aaron Russell, and Thomas Jaski, but when those guys get a bit older, he's going to be nipping at their heels looking for a starting spot. Another player on LBSU that's on this list, Kyle Ensing, who played with the American national team during their summer events and the World Championships this year. Didn't get a lot of playing time, but clearly showed that he was able to play maybe not quite at an elite international level, but close enough to it that he looked fairly convincing. I actually think that Ensing and the next guy I'm going to mention are better opposite prospects for the United States rather than Ben Patch, who is kind of being touted by a lot of fans in the FFVB as the next big American star. Whereas if you've been paying attention to the club side of things, he hasn't been starting for his club team even in Berlin. Kyle Russell, another American opposite, is actually starting for them. And he really has only seemed to play well when he's getting set by Micah Christensen, and he's almost 25. So I think instead of putting so much time into Ben Patch, I think Sparrow should maybe look towards Ensing. And our next player, which is Jake Haynes out of Ohio State, who's a 98, redshirted his first season for the Buckeyes, had a really good, strong rookie season, and now in his sophomore season is looking like the second best opposite in the country after the previously mentioned Ensing. Really physical player. Great height at 6'10", even for an opposite, that's pretty tall given his athleticism. And I think he's going to be a really strong contender for a position on the national team. We'll see. I mean, it is a bit crowded with Patch and Ensing already having minutes there. Matt Anderson, as we know, likes to play opposite when he plays with Team USA. But I think Haynes will get there eventually, maybe not right away, but definitely has the potential. And probably my favorite player to watch personally on this list is probably a guy I would imagine most of the American listeners know. He's kind of known for being stylish, and he's a good social media guy, is Mika Ma'a of UCLA. It's kind of funny that the USA. Their two best setters are both named Mika and both from Hawaii. But you know, that it's such a hotbed of talent for volleyball that it makes sense the Shoji's from there as well. But Mika Ma'a has made the UCLA offense run so smoothly over the last few years. Still only a junior, incredibly athletic. In fact, oftentimes UCLA runs a kind of almost like a 6-2, where Mika is able to hit opposite and left side at times. So really good athlete at position. Not huge. I think he's 6'3 or 6'4, but he makes up for it with his ability to jump. So he's a good blocker, great server, smart player. The USA has had a couple of kind of false starts with their who's going to be the backup setter to Micah Christensen. Jonas Seif was okay for a bit. He's tall, but didn't really have the game sense. James Shaw is super hyper-athletic and tall, but recently made the switch to opposite, so he's out of the question. Michael Seda, another hyper-athletic setter, but didn't really seem to gain much traction with the national team program. So Mika Ma'a, I think you'll see him at the 2020 Olympics. Maybe. It depends on what Kuika Shoji does, but if not 2020, definitely right after that, Mika Ma'a is going to be a huge part of the program and definitely will take over once Christensen has decided to retire, which, yeah, that could be a while. Christensen's still pretty young, so bad timing for him. DeFalco and Onsing's teammates, Josh Tuadiga, who's the reigning NCAA Player of the Year, and Nick Amato are also players to watch for the Americans. But overall, I have to say the youth program for the Americans is probably not the strongest it's ever been. They recently failed to qualify for the U21 2019 World Championships. So while the current crop of American guys, the guys like the current team, like Micah Christensen, Taylor Sander, Aaron Russell, Max Holt, those guys are potentially one of the strongest teams they've ever had, the next group up may not be quite as good as they were. Although we'll see, maybe the guys will develop and get better. Moving on to their fellow North Americans, my home turf, Canada. I might be biased, but I think this group of Canadians is actually a lot stronger than the American prospects that I just mentioned. And they are headlined by the player that made huge headlines at the 2017 World League by starting in Canada's bronze medal performance. And I think most of you probably can guess who this is, and that's Shawn Vernon-Evans, who went pro right out of high school. Actually played in World League before he's played a single pro match at only 18 years of age. Now he's had his first two seasons in Warsaw in the Polish League. And while his pro career hasn't exactly been probably how he imagined it, every time he gets on the court, you can see how just absolutely ridiculous this guy is. He has the highest spike touch in all of volleyball, I believe, at 12.6.5. He's a 6'9 opposite with huge arms, a really good jump, and just has all the tools to become a really, really special volleyball player and maybe could become the best player in the world at some point. I actually saw him play for the first time. I think Shawan was about 14 years old. I went to watch my brother play in a tournament, and I saw this guy just absolutely roofing the ball at 14 years old on my brother's team. I was like, oh man, this guy is going to be something special one day. And look at him now. He's pretty much guaranteed the starting spot at opposite for Team Canada for the next decade or so. He wasn't able to play this much, as I mentioned earlier, in Warsaw this season because he was playing behind the reigning World Championship MVP, Bartosz Kurek. So hopefully he can go somewhere next year where he's able to get a lot more playing time and really jumpstart his pro career. That's something I like to see to develop him. And then the other guy that I'm sure most of you know, an absolute social media star, jumps out of the gym, teammate of Mika Ma'a, and that's Danin Kofi-Jima at UCLA as well. Currently leading the NCAA, and I believe he did last year as well, in hitting efficiency at 5.18%, or 51.8%, sorry. And if you've ever seen highlights of this guy, you can understand why he would be on this list. He is an incredible leaper. Just pounds the ball. I would say if you put him in like the Italian Pro League right now, he would already be one of the best attacking middles in the league. It's just everything else that he needs to work on. Although his serve has gotten a lot better this year, to the point where it's actually probably a pretty good weapon for a blocker. He still needs to work on his blocking a bit. Although again, that has made lots of improvements this year at UCLA under USA national team coach John Spurrah. And Glenn Hogue and the rest of the Team Canada coaching staff is going to have a real hard time justifying leaving him off the national team this summer cycle, especially for maybe like Nations League, where you maybe give some of the other guys some rest and give him a chance to shine, because I know fans from around the world would love to see this guy play in a Team Canada senior national team uniform. The next one, not as much as a social media star, but someone you should definitely have on your mind if you're thinking about future volleyball stars, and that's Eric Lepke at Trinity Western University. If you don't know Trinity Western, it's actually the North American college program that's produced the most volleyball pro athletes out of anything, more than Long Beach State, more than UCLA. It's the one that's produced the most. You can see their alumni everywhere on the Canadian national team and all over Europe and pro leagues. Eric Lepke just has it all, everything you want out of an elite outside prospect. I've mentioned this before, 6'6 with good size, good jumper, very strong player, great coordination, incredibly strong server, this unreal efficiency that he's hitting with right now in the league. He's probably been the best player in all of U Sports for the last 2 years straight. Just absolute great player. Can't say enough good things about him. He's going to have his choice of whatever club he wants to go to. Rumor has it after U Sports Nationals around this time last year, he was already offered multiple contracts to clubs in at the top of the Italian and Polish leagues. So European fans, just wait for this guy. He's going to be huge. Really good player. And then the last player, even if you knew who Eric Lepke was, if you're not a Canadian fan, you probably didn't know this guy, and that's Xander Ketrzynski, a first-year university student, meaning born in the year 2000, going to a school just down the street from me, Ryerson University in Toronto. Xander reminds me a little bit of Aaron Russell. He has huge size at 6'9", so he'll probably be listed at 6'10 when he eventually goes pro. Great athlete, fantastic server. He's currently playing outside, which I hope he can continue to give the Canadian national team some breathing room so they don't have to have another person competing with Shawan on the opposite position. But he still needs to work on his passing a lot. But when you have a body and a frame like that, and he comes from a volleyball family, I think he could be a really huge part of Team Canada going forward. Still has to work on a bit before he's ready to play the next level. So doubtful you'd see him at 2020, but definitely a guy to watch 2022 World Championships and 2024 in Paris. Next up, let's talk about some Italian prospects. First up, we have Julio Pinali in 98, currently playing for Modena Volley in Italy, so a very good club team that he's actually getting a decent amount of minutes for. He's one of the first guys off the bench currently, and he subbed in for Zaitsev a couple times when he's been his usual inconsistent self this year. And he's even played the outside too, so he's kind of been able to play outside or opposite, and he's actually really impressed me so far. Fantastic physical attacker, seems very calm and collected for his age. I would not have guessed he's only 20 21 if you were to ask me how old he was. And I think he's going to be a staple of the Italian national team going forward. Not sure if he'll play outside or opposite. I think opposite is more of his natural position, but I'm sure he will do well at whatever he chooses. Next up, we have Riccardo Spertoli, the current starting setter for fourth place Milano, who's actually ahead of Pinali's team, Modena. So great job to Milano for probably going to lock up the fourth seed. I'm not sure if they're exactly fourth right now, but they will be. But he started this year and he started last year. So incredible job for someone who's very young still, even though he's only 21, but he does look like he's about 35. So you wouldn't guess it if you saw him. But really good control of the game, just perfect hands. Unfortunately, obviously, he's only a couple of years younger than Simone Giannelli, so he's probably not going to get a ton of time starting on the Italian national team just because of, when you have probably one of the best prodigal setters that we've ever had in our sport, that's who you have to play behind. It'll be tough, but the fact that Spertoli is able to be as good as he is, even though he's quite undersized for a setter at only 6'1", means that his control of the game is just fantastic and really has a great knowledge of who to set at the right times. Another great Italian youngster, a player who was captain of their U21 2017 World Championships team, Gianluca Galassi, really athletic, quick Italian middle. Kind of has that strange approach that a lot of Italian middle seem to have, but kind of that herky-jerky approach, but it works well. He's quite an athletic guy. Last year he was in Milano, where he was getting sets from Svirtoli, where he played quite a few minutes, made the move to Perugia this year, where he's splitting time with Fabio Ricci, who's a few years older, and they're playing besides Marco Podrashanin. And he's looked very good in all the minutes I've seen him. It's only a matter of time before he becomes one of those Italian middles that's in really high demand, just because he's just one of the best Italian middles, and you need one of those to compete at a high level in the Italian Super League. The last Italian prospect I'm going to talk about is David Gardini, son of Andrea Gardini, who is a legendary Italian volleyball player. But David decided to go play college volleyball in the U.S., and he is currently a freshman on BYU, I think considered by many to be the best freshman player in the country, doing very well there. He's attacking really well, second in kills on the team after Gabby Garcia Fernandez, and doing so at quite a good efficiency. So good job to him. He's playing outside there, where some may say his natural position is opposite. We'll see what position he plays when he comes back to Italy. There's some criticism that he's not as good as a passer to play as an outside on the next level. I think he can get there, but we'll see what he decides to do. Now for the team that I would say no contest has the best prospects out of all these countries, the country that won the U21 2017 World Championships, and that is Poland. They have my number one prospect that I think the best player of the future going forward, Jakub Kochanowski, currently playing for Skra Beltatov. Just won a game against Katowice, by the way. Big win for them. I think they're definitely going to make the playoffs here. Yeah, he absolutely was dominating the Plusliga last year on Olsztyn, and he was only 20 years old, and now he's doing it again as a 21-year-old. Got a lucrative contract with probably the most renowned club in Poland, even if they aren't really showing it this year. But he was brought in to replace Freka Lizanach, so if that's not a testament to how just amazing this guy is, that should give you an idea of how good he is. I'm sure you guys saw in the world, he was starting for the world champions. He's starting for one of the best clubs in Europe. He's not just starting, but probably one of their feature players. Incredibly athletic, incredibly smart, knows where to put the ball. Just great testament to the Polish volleyball development system. And not far behind him, though, another just absolute stud in Poland playing for Warsaw right now with our guy Siobhan Vernon-Evans is Bartosz Folek. Kind of similar to TJ DeFalco, more of an undersized, not super athletic guy, but incredibly strong. He just pounds the ball when he hits it. Very good server. It's crazy how good at passing he is for his age. It's a really impressive part of his game. Great back row defender. Not a huge block, but gets up there. But he's definitely, you could see this year, when Folek went down, Warsaw really missed him. He's an important part of the offense, and he does so many little things on the court that I think kind of go underappreciated. He was also got quite a few minutes at the World Championships this year, and he's just a great guy to have on your team. Next player from Poland, Tomasz Fornal. He's a bit of a, he used to be included right up there with Kochanowski and Kwolak. Kind of dropped off a bit this year, maybe because of the club he's playing for, but this guy is very good as well. He's playing in Radom this season, didn't have his best season of all time, but still one of the better players in the Plusliga, and I'm sure next season he's going to be in very high demand from clubs like Zaxa, Skra, just Jebsi Vigil, and those other clubs with, you know, a bit more money to spend. They want Fornal. And like the rest of the Polish guys, not only is he a good athlete, but he's just very skilled, good attacker, server, blocker. These Polish guys, man, I don't know where they're finding them, but they're tall, physical, athletic, and they're skilled. Just Poland's going to dominate the next decade of volleyball, guys, if you already weren't aware from their World Championship win that came right after their 2017 World Championship win. All right, and the last guy, I mean, there's a few other guys you could include in this group. There's a lot of good young Polish players right now. But the last guy I'm going to put in this tier is Jakub Kozub, a setter of that 2017 World Championship U21 team. And he is playing in Resovia this year. And he's actually was getting a lot of minutes above American backup setter Kuika Shoji. He was outplaying him for most of the season. And it's a pretty close race. I'd say they're about equal. Recently, Shoji's gone back into the starting lineup, but the fact that this young kid is competing with the American backup setter just should show you that he's going to be the real deal. Another undersized setter on this list that makes up for it with really good game sense and just elite hands. He can set the ball anywhere to anywhere on the court. Russia has been pretty hard to scout just because a lot of their players don't really get playing time, even if they're good and young in the Russian league, just because it's such a ridiculously physical league and their domestic talent is so deep that even if you're a good young player, you're likely going to have to wait till you're kind of 23 or 24 to get a real chance to shine, unless you're like Dmitry Volkov or Igor Kliuka, but I don't think this crop of guys is quite at that level. The first guy I'm going to mention is a 98 opposite, and that is Kirill Kletz, currently playing for the Alpen Volleys, who are actually at the top of the Bundesliga standings in Germany. So good job, Alpen Volleys. And he's kind of their go-to player, the player with the most MVPs and points, I believe. So impressive that he's leading. People, like, you think the German league is not competitive, but it's actually improving a lot in skill level. And I think this year, it's not a scrub league by any means. There's a lot of good players in it, so what he's doing is quite impressive. Another player playing outside of Russia, interestingly enough, is Konstantin Abeev, who is playing for Poitiers in the French league. He's actually born in 1999, so he's one of the younger players on this list. He's still only 19 years old, still a teenager, and he's already been playing professionally for, I think, 4 years already, so really good job from him. You don't really see that in North America as much, where these guys are super young and already have good pro experience. Russia already has a lot of good setters, although a few of them are getting up there in age, like Grankin and Butko. So guys like Dmitry Kovalev and maybe after him Konstantin Abeev will be the next generation of guys to lead Russia, because they're looking towards, they're hosting the 2022 World Championships, and I'm sure they're going to be hosting many tournaments after that. Volleyball is huge in Russia, and this guy, I believe, will be one of the faces of the team going forward. Although I will say Russia is probably the hardest team to predict in that respect, because you see guys are amazing, just incredible players on their youth teams. Their youth teams are always winning championships, and then sometimes those aren't the players who do well at the next level. Russia seems to be guilty of that the most, so I'm going to go with him for now, but definitely one of my less confident predictions as who's going to be an elite player. And then the last guy, I think I could be confident in this guy because he's the son of one of the biggest legends in our sport, Sergei Tatukin. And his son is Pavel Tatukin, playing on Belgorod this year, not getting a ton of playing time, but he does get in the game. And one of the players on this list born in the year 2000, so he's only 18 right now. So the fact, like I mentioned earlier, it's hard to play in the Russian Super League at such a young age. So the fact that he's actually been able to get into the games has been very impressive. And I think he's going to be a great player going forward. A little early to fully be confident in him, but, you know, look who his dad is. Look who's training him. How could he not turn out great? Next country I'm going to talk about is Brazil. And like the United States, you know, they're always going to have great players, great talent, because there's too many good coaches in these countries and too many good athletic development programs. But I will say, like the Americans, like the Brazilian youngsters don't seem quite as promising as they have in the past, although certainly not terrible. I'm just comparing them to, you know, what Brazil's produced in the past, where guys like Bruno and Lucas Saintcap and Wallace were all, and Lucarelli were all, you know, fighting to go hard and play on the national team when they were very young. So the Brazilian guys conveniently actually all play on the same team in Brazil. I'm sure they won't in the future. They got picked up by like Sada Cruzeiro and Tabate. But for now, they all play on the same team, and that's Minas Tennis Club. So the first guy is Maik Reyes, who, if you knew any of these guys, he'd probably be the one you know, because he was actually a featured libero at the 2018 World Championships, which is pretty impressive for a guy who's only 21. And I mean, he was only playing back row defense. He wasn't passing, but he's going to be moved into a passing role too. It's not really a weakness of his. It's just when you have Thales Haas passing, you really have to prove that you deserve minutes over him. And I think going forward, he's going to be their full-time libero, but I don't know. We'll see. The double libero thing is popular. Anyway, Maik Reyes, I think he's the only libero on this list. I mean, it's hard to pick out liberos when they're young, because it's usually a position where you just develop over time and keep grinding and keep grinding, develop those fine motor skills and coordination skills that allow you to pass and to play defense so well. So the fact that he already has it at such a young age, very, very well done. Another guy on this Minas team, Enrique Honorato. Again, another undersized outside. He even looks kind of like Bartosz Fulek, to be honest, if you've ever seen them, kind of like thicker guys who always seem to have a scowl on their face. Anyway, Honorato has a nasty float serve, a good athlete, good jumper. I think he's only 6'3", but he's fine with blocking and doing everything. Still working on his passing. It's tough to be a good passer when you're so young. But I'm sure Honorato will be a member of the national team going forward. Although they did randomly call up Victor Cardoza for the World Championships last year. Still, people are kind of confused as to why that happened. But I think Honorato, maybe not as tall or athletic, but I think a more skilled player overall. And the last Brazilian guy I'm going to talk about is certainly not lacking in height. And that is Felipe Roque, also a 21-year-old on Minas. Kind of a fun team. If you want to watch all these players, just watch one Minas team. Check out my Where to Watch Volleyball in 2019 article if you want to know where to watch Brazilian volleyball. So Roque is huge at 6'9", and he's like extremely, just a big guy. Like, he's not even tall. He's just like very strong and muscular. And he uses that to great effect. Not a huge jumper by any means, but when he gets a good angle on the ball, he hits it very hard. He does need to become smarter as to where and when he hits the ball with the full force, because he often gets blocked, and he needs to get better, like a lot of tall, big opposites. He needs to get better at kind of playing the soft balls and using the block and tipping and roll shots and things like that. But if he can get that under control, he definitely has all the athleticism in the world to become one of the future players on the Brazilian national team. Although he'll likely have to wait for 94 Alan Souza to get a bit older, because, yeah, right now Alan seems like the superior prospect in my opinion, but he's a few years older. Next up is Iran, who has had a very strong youth development program recently. Good for them. Milad Ebadipour and Javad Manavi are two players who've gone through that are doing very well at the European club level right now. And actually, one of Manavi's teammates, Morteza Sharifi, didn't have the best season in Verona, let's be honest. He wasn't really able to play at that level, but the kid is only 19 years old. It's a really tough league to play in, no matter what age you are. So the fact that he's actually able to hold his own, even though if it wasn't the best player at 19 years of age, means that the Iranians have a really special player on their hands, and I'm sure he's going to get much better with more experience going forward. Now, I'm going to be honest, I do not know a ton about the next two Iranian players. All I know is that they're good, and people have told me that they are players to watch. The first one is Amir Hossein Tukte, who we did see a bit at the World Championships. Came in kind of as a switch-up middle hitter and did a really good job. And by the way, this guy was born in 2001, so he is really, really young. 17 at the time of the World Championships, just turning 18 this year. It's rare that you see players that young excel on the men's side. It's a little more common on the women's side, but just well done for him. Really, really athletic player. Really fun to watch. If you didn't watch those Iran games during the World Championships, I'd recommend giving them a check out at volleyballworld.tv. The next player, okay, gonna be honest, don't really know much about him at all. That's Poria Yali, who I believe played in the Nations League for Iran. And he's a 99 that has been hyped up for a while as one of the elite Iranian youth prospects. Very skinny, though. Extremely skinny. If you see him on the court, you'll know right away who he is, just because he's like, can't weigh more than like 160 pounds. And he's like 6'7". So I believe that's all the countries with three or more elite prospects. I say in air quotes because some of them are definitely better than others, and some of them I was pretty borderline on adding to this list. But one country that I only have two prospects for, but two of the best people that I'm going to mention in this podcast, is the Ukraine, with Oleg Plotnitsky and Timothy Poulien. So Plotnitsky first has been kind of got picked up in the middle of the season last year as a kind of random pickup for Monza. Was a free agent and ended up starting for them by the end of the season. And he's a 97, so he was only 21 years old, 20 when he got picked up. and he has been an absolute revelation for them. I think definitely their best player this year. Third in the Italian Super League in aces. Guy is an unreal athlete. Jumps completely out of the gym. Must have like a 45-inch vertical. I think he's about 6'5". Really strong arm swing. He has a spin serve that goes well over 100 kilometers an hour. Can tell I really like this guy. I think he's probably one of the top five guys on this entire list. He was the captain of Ukraine when they did their European qualifications this summer, and definitely the future star of their team. He has had a few injury troubles already, which might hamper his playing career going forward, but if you guys don't know Oleg Plotnichki, you're going to know him soon. I think he's got a lot of rumors have him going to one of the top Italian teams for next season. The other Ukrainian player is a guy I haven't quite seen play as much. That's Timothy Poluian. I think that's how you say it. Poluian. And he played on Ljubljana this year in Slovenia and actually is one of their better players. Played with Canadian Jory Mantha. And you would have never, ever guessed that this guy is only 19, 20 years old because he does not look the part. He looks like a very composed, mature athlete. Devastating arm swing, smart player, knows when to switch it up, very calm and collected. And between him and Plotnichki, Ukraine's actually going to be dangerous going forward. These two are a really good pair of outsides to build around. Hopefully they can fill the rest of their team and maybe be a new European power in volleyball. We'll see. And then one of Plotnichki's teammates actually is the same age of him in Monza. I love this. It's the kind of like the young gun duo in Monza, one of my favorite teams to watch. And that's the Czech player, Donovan Zavoronok, with a silent D. He's a lot bigger than Oleg Plotnichki. I think he's 6'8", comes from a volleyball family, really smart, composed player, has a few beach elements to his game, needs to work on the passing a bit, but I think he'll get there. He's already a good passer for his size. Not an elite athlete, but he's tall enough that it doesn't really matter too much. And he was one of the leading players of the Czech team in their 2017 European Championship run, and I'm sure he'll be a very big part of their 2019 run as well. Another player who could be considered, personally, who I think will be one of the best players on this list eventually, he plays for Turkey, but he was born in Sarajevo. And I'm not quite sure how to say his name because I don't think I've ever heard a broadcaster say it in English, but I'll attempt it here. His name is Adis Lagumzija. I'll try and write his name in the description so you guys know who I'm talking about. I'm sure I said that wrong, but he plays for Arkas Izmir in the Turkish League. They played in the CV Cup this year, I believe, and that's one of the places where I first saw him. And he's just, man, when I first saw him play, I had to look him up right away because I'm like, okay, he's probably the best player on this Arkas team, and I don't know who he is, so when that happens, I usually go to look up a player right away. And when I saw that he was a 99, that he's only 20 years old, I was just about fell out of my seat. Like, this guy is the real deal. He is just an absolute scoring machine, ridiculously athletic, tall. I think he's a 6'10", so he's got big size for an opposite. Turkey is really lucky to have him. They have good youth teams in the last few years, and he's been a key part of them. And I don't know. The Turkish players don't often leave Turkey because, you know, they make decent money playing there. But if there's one Turkish player who I could say could definitely play in any league they want over the next few years, it would definitely be Addis. He's going to be a future star. You heard it here first. This guy is really, really good. Next up, we have a few guys from a few different countries that are probably guys you would know if you're a big enough volleyball fan to be listening to this podcast. The first up is Tobias Krick from Germany. He has monstrous size even from middle at like 7 feet tall, and he does not move like a 7-footer either. He's actually really good at going side to side and closing out to the pin blockers, and he has a wicked arm swing as well. Unlikely for people to receive him if he gets good contact on the ball. Currently plays in Frankfurt with Canadian blocker Lucas van Berkel and another kind of young German sensation, Moritz Karlitzek, who's actually just missed the cutoff for this list. But he is the player with the most MVPs in the German league, and a guy who's going to be both these guys are going to be big staples of the German national team. Another guy who's, I'm sure you probably already know, is Yuji Nishida, born in the year 2000. And I'm super high on this guy. He's maybe one of the most talented players on this list, maybe one of the best athletes on this list. Unfortunately, he's also one of the shortest at only 6'1", and playing the opposite position, which is just absolutely unheard of for someone that short to be playing a position like that. But he had a very successful season playing for the J-Tech Stings in the Japanese V-League this year, was second in the league in scoring, which, and I think the only Japanese player in the top 10 list. Usually all the leading scorers are foreigners, and the top leading scorer was Dmitry Mazursky, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, 7'3" guy playing in a league where the average height is like 6'4". Not too hard to score in that case. But the other guy, Yuji Nishida, over a foot shorter than Mazursky, and he is the second guy on that list. So it just goes to show how explosive of an athlete he is. And he's a smart player for his age, too. Able to use a lot of angles. One of the first players to go straight from high school. I think he was the first player to go straight from high school to the Japanese V-League, or at least the youngest player to do it. So still, I really want to see how his game translates to the pro game. I actually did a full YouTube video kind of detailing him as a prospect. If you want to check that out on the YouTube channel, 5-1 Volleyball. If you're not already, if you haven't seen it and subscribed to that already, go do that. But yeah, Nishida, really want to see him outside Japan. A couple of guys have done it successfully recently, including Ishikawa and Yanagita. So maybe Yuji Nishida can do it as well. And then a third player, I'm sure all of you already know because he's been playing on the French national team for a few years already. I actually left him off this list originally because I actually forgot that he was only 20 years old, and that's Chinen Yizi on France and plays for Tours in the French league. Not the biggest middle ever at 6'8", but has really long arms and just absolutely explosive athlete, both side to side and vertically. So he's a good jumper and he's got that lateral movement to get out and block shots. Most people at his size and age are just figuring out how to tie their shoes together. So the fact that he was starting on the French national team on, I believe 17 years old is when he first started, is absolutely incredibly impressive. And I think this is the year where he's firmly going to cement himself over the Goff as the other middle blocker besides Kevin Leroux. Next up is a pair of guys who one is dominating U Sports Volleyball, which is basically the NCAA equivalent in Canada, and just about as competitive, and another player is dominating the NCAA. So the first guy from Australia, Elliot Viles of the Brandon Bobcats. And we see a lot of Australian players come to Canada to play their university volleyball. Well, just not to brag too much, but Canada does have an internationally elite education system, as well as a very high-level college volleyball system. And Australia doesn't really have that. They don't really have like volleyball at schools as much. If guys want to stay in Australia and pursue volleyball, they have to go to like their full-time sports training center. So it makes sense that a lot of them, if they want to go to school and play volleyball, then they come to Canada. And I don't know if even Elliot Viles expected to be this good, because he is, other than Eric Lepke, got to be one of the best players in Canada this year, leading the Brandon Bobcats to the top record in the Canada West Conference, which is the most competitive conference in North American college sports, and just looked really impressive doing it. Very athletic guy, really hard hitter, really physical. It's a very physical league, so you have to stand out athletically in order to dominate. And I think it'll be a big part of Australia's national volleyball program going forward. I think he was on the roster for Nations League, even if he didn't go, or the World Championships, one of those two tournaments. But if he wants to be on those teams going forward, he certainly will be given that opportunity. And now if we go down south, but not too far south, because we're going to Hawaii, we're going to go to the University of Hawaii, where Radu Pyrapunov plays his volleyball, playing at the outside position this year. So Dane Njima, who we mentioned earlier, is first in the league in hitting efficiency. But right behind him is a guy you wouldn't expect. And yeah, that's right, outside hitter Pyrapunov is second in the entire NCAA in hitting efficiency. Generally a stat that tends to heavily favor middle attackers, but Pyrapunov is just kind of an outlier, hitting above 50 hitting efficiency, which means no one is stopping him. He's hardly making any errors, hitting at a really good clip. Also, I forgot to mention he's Bulgarian. He's not American, so even though he's playing in the States, he is not. That's why I didn't mention him with the Americans at the beginning of this podcast. But I expect him to be a big part of Bulgaria's national team going forward. Although we have seen in the past that youngsters are not given a very many opportunities to prove themselves on the Bulgarian national team. Definitely a program that favors veterans. So we'll see. Those guys, some of those guys are getting real old, though, between that Salparov, Bratoev, Alexiev generation. Those guys are all in their mid-30s, so I'm sure eventually they're going to have to give the young guys like Parapunov and Martin Atanasov playing in Chamonix a chance to prove themselves. All right, we're almost done. We're in the home stretch. I know this is a lot of players, but it just goes to show how many fantastic young volleyball players we have playing all around the world. And volleyball is an international sport. There's a lot of different countries to cover here, but there's only three players I'm going to mention in the rest of this podcast. The first one from Finland, Niko Suikkonen, played on their World Championships roster. You know, Finland always shows up for the World Championships and wasn't really expected to be a big part of their team, but a couple injuries here, a couple injuries there, and boom, Niko Suikkonen thrust into a big role for the team from Finland. And he, even though he's a 99, so he was only 19 years old during the tournament, he was very impressive, very good ball control, a little undersized for an outside, but he's really good at using the block, like all of us undersized outsides have to be. And I think he'll be a big part of Finland going forward. Still quite a few elements of his game to work on, I would say. He's probably towards the bottom if we're talking about all the prospects on this list, but Finland has got a great player development program, and I believe, yeah, if he leaves Finland to go play somewhere more competitive, then he can turn into a fantastic player. And the last country I'm going to mention is probably the country more than anywhere else known for its player development, especially of young guys, and that's Cuba. Now, Cuba, I don't think these guys are going to be part of that golden generation that produced players like Robert Landy Simon and Wilfredo Leon and Yoandrea Leal and Herzulo and Fernando Hernandez. But there's always going to be good players coming out of Cuba, guys. You know they love volleyball down there, and they have some ridiculous athletes, and who are, by the way, an important part of this is are not being taken away by basketball. And the first thing I'm going to mention, I mean, these guys are, hate to say it, but they are kind of similar players. Miguel Gutierrez, who played in Italy professionally last season, now has moved to Argentina. Hasn't been super impressive so far, but he's clearly an elite athlete, like a lot of the Cubans are. Has a great game sense, hits around the block, is prone to bouts of going cold for long periods of time, which I would say is my main knock on him, but he's already gaining lots of experience outside Cuba, which is, I think, is really important for these young guys to live in places like Italy and Argentina and to be away from home and get perspective to different, you know, methods of volleyball. And the other guy from Cuba is Osniel Hernandez, another athletic wing spiker from Cuba who's playing in Argentina. And actually, Miguel Gutierrez has kind of got a lot of the attention as the best prospect coming out of Cuba, but Osniel Hernandez is having the better season in Argentina right now. Their fifth leading scorer at only 21 years old, pretty impressive. Argentina league, a lot of people kind of think of it as an afterthought, but there's some good teams in that league, so being one of the leading scorers in the league at such a young age, very impressive. Interestingly, they are both still playing on the Cuban national team, so I'll look into this more, but maybe Cuba's changed their tone as to, you know, moving away and then being able to come back and still play for the national team. That'd be a huge step in the right direction, because they'd probably have like two Olympic gold medals and two World Championship gold medals if they had just let those guys stay play for Cuba, even though they left and lived in other places. All right, so that is my short list of the best prospects in men's volleyball. Some good players on this list, some guys who are going to be the next generation of superstars in our sport. Let me know if you guys think there's like some really good player that I've missed. There could very well be, you know, your local guy who I just doesn't play in a big volleyball country. So those are sometimes it's hard to locate players in those youth programs. So I definitely could have missed people. I think I'm going to do a more comprehensive, well, not more comprehensive, but, you know, pick actually 10 guys from this list and do a YouTube video on them and rank them. I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to pick for that. You guys will have to wait and see on the YouTube channel who I'm going to do, but I'll have some good video running beside them, so you can actually see how these guys play in actual games instead of just me describing them in like three sentences. So if you like the podcast, subscribe to it so you know whenever I produce a new podcast. I think I'm going to do a mailbag episode tomorrow where I post a Ask Me Anything on my Instagram and then answer your guys' questions, which I was supposed to do Wednesday, but like I explained, I got bailed on. No Friday podcast with Volleyball Source for the next few weeks. There's a lot of championships, like college championships, university championships, just all sorts of stuff going on in Canada over the next few weekends. So he's busy going to actually watch and work on volleyball in person. But me, I'll be with you guys for the most part. I'll figure out something to do on Fridays. That'll be just as good. Hope you guys have a good week. Hope the weekend's almost here. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Lots of good volleyball watch. Maybe you're playing this weekend. I know I am. We're almost at 50 minutes here by my count, so I am going to sign off now. Bye.